Okay, so you guys are just like, I'm not going to get away from this media guy. Because I've got this recorder going here, digital recorder.
Right.
We are in a truck exiting Grandview Point with Chris and Nick Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L. Today is the 27th of August. Is that right? It's Wednesday, 2014. We are in Grand Canyon National Park.
Uh-huh.
We're heading for Plaza Bonita in Tucson. You're going to turn
stop, Nick.
Yep.
Left or right?
Right.
Right.
Yep. So these two gentlemen have just driven their Toledo steam car from Flagstaff to the Grandview Point here today. And what are you guys thinking? I just remembered Emmy, right? She said, always ask them what they're thinking.
Well, me, I'm Chris. And sort of a bit, nowadays it's a little bit unreal that, you know, we finally achieved the objective. We finally got there. And all the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties, everything, you know, we finally actually got there. And we couldn't have done that without the awesome help that a lot of guys did freely. And they came along and enjoyed the experience, and I think they really did enjoy the experience. And that's pretty humbling that, you know, complete strangers from across the world all come together and we meet to do this thing, and we achieved it. A lot of difficulties, but we got there. And so I'm a little sort of stunned, really, in that sense. Sort of savouring the moment and thinking, we actually did it. We got there.
It hasn't quite sunk in with me yet. You know, it's like, well, you know, great, we did it. And just all that assistance and fantastic, the towing and you working out the route, as you call it, and doing all the planning was something else. And then the backup today with everything from the tea to the lunch stops and, yeah, great. The car was, from my point of view, I'd like it to have gone a bit better. It's the most arduous trip we've taken it on, because it's always been on tarmac, so. But there were pretty amazing roads washed out here and there, but fantastic variety across the plains and then through the woods and up here, so great. So we had a few tows, but we did the job. We got the car to the Grand Canyon in the end, which was just something else. I don't think it's going to quite sink in until I see the photos again.
Yeah. What's it like to drive this steam car?
What is it? What?
What's it like to drive it?
It could be scary with some of the things we've had today. When the throttle, the accelerator, the steam throttle sticks open,
and you're out of control then.
You can't stop it. Yeah. You know, you're trying to get it into the transmission, as it were, into a neutral position to jump out and flick the throttle closed. So otherwise, I mean, we've only had that. This is the first time I've ever had that over here. I hope I haven't damaged something on it.
But we had a wonderful hairy moment when we were early part of the day. We were going up a straight piece of road, and it was very wide. And the rain that had happened yesterday had sort of basically dried off, but things were a bit squelchy, a little bit. You know, the ground here is very, very loose clay and pebbles, stones. We kept on the track. It was a good track, and suddenly the car just veered off to the left. I mean, we were going into the ditch, and I said, "What are you doing?" And "What are you doing?" You know, and we actually, thank goodness, stopped. I mean, we were in the squelchy stuff, and I leapt off, and I thought, "You know, right, we'll try and push it back, and you steer it out." Well, Nick suddenly was moving the tiller left and right. Nothing. He said, "I haven't got any steering," and so I looked down. And the steering is connected to the tiller arm just with a little pin. And that pin had shaken itself loose and was literally hanging out. I mean, I just picked the pin off. It hadn't got into the dirt.
The knuckle had dropped down underneath me.
Yep. And really, all I had to do was to pull the knuckle up. I mean, practically the tiller was in line. I pulled it up. I pushed the pin in. It's a one-way pin because it's tapered. We had steering again. And Nick came round with a little club hammer and backed it in, and that was it. We were shaken, not stirred.
That's something we never had before. I never had a flat before.
Yeah.
Never had the throttle stick before.
So,
but, yeah, there's all the experience of here.
These and, old cars,
yeah,
unpredictable. You know, they're old.
As,
they're,
as
they're,
you can see, when you start to... Well, I was only just a little bit of blowing down the boiler there. You know, the car's completely silent, and you think it's switched off. But that power is all there. It built up in the boiler, 250 pounds. You know, you just open that valve, you see how much power is in it. But, so they can be a lot of fun. And, you know, a bit of a challenge. That's why I bought the thing. You know, they're a challenge. We could have done that route easily in an internal combustion engine car with a good magneto.
So, Nick, the challenges that you faced in the last 2 days, flat tire, the steering coming in, disengaged.
Yeah, the roads. I mean, just
the roads.
The car's never been shaken around as much as that.
Well, it had 112 years ago.
Yeah.
And so,
well, yeah.
What?
I'm pretty sure they had tarmac roads in those days.
Yeah, right.
That stagecoach trail was pretty good.
In the reading that you've done and the research that you've done on the car and the original run to Grand Canyon, now this is the second run to Grand Canyon for Flagstaff, this little car is done. Any experiences that you suddenly realized, oh, they had written about that, that's what they were talking about. Did that
ever
happen?
Yeah, you had the route, as it were, but at least we didn't break the chain, which they did on the original run.
Why do you think they did that?
I think they had it too slack, or they were going too fast over a big roll boulder and the chassis twist too much. But
they broke the glass, the side glass?
Yesterday, that's why I tightened the chain up after we'd run around Flagstaff Old Town. And I could hear the chain was rattling a bit, so we tightened it up, and great. So we didn't have that problem. I was a bit worried about the sight glass, because they broke theirs as well. You got huge respect for them challenging and doing that trip in the first place. And in a way, you realise how much spin there was in those days. You know, when he came back in 7 hours, I don't know how he managed it. And if he went across the same roads as we did today, that would have been quite something in 7 hours. But that's what they said he did it in, just him and Barry. So huge respect for the pioneering that they did in those days, because until you do a challenge like that again on the same roads, you don't know what they experienced. Well, that's been the fun of doing this, was to, especially when we were out, we were talking as we went across those spaces all along the route. We've been saying, oh, this must be Red Canyon, and oh, this
Red Horse Canyon.
Red Horse Canyon, and okay, and this must be such, etc. We still didn't really find the dog knobs, did we?
No, I didn't. Actually, I think we were so sort of engrossed in what we were doing and concentrating on the road and the beam towing and all the things. We occasionally looked up and we saw the landscape gradually changing, the trees getting larger and all this sort of thing. And it was a wonderful thing going up through there. I felt really quite emotional a lot of the time, thinking, you know, we're getting there. We're going to get there.
You were pretty amazed by the landscape. You kept gasps of this and switching your GoPro off and on. And, oh, yeah, here's the plains and here's the deserty bit where it was pretty dry and flat, wasn't it?
So... it was quite emotional, really. I think a lot of things going back to the team, you know, with some of the crap that I've been having in the past year, when a lot of the time you feel on your own, and then there's a bunch of strangers who have come together as a team,
and that really cuts me up
quite a lot.
Yeah, I was pretty chucked up when we got there, you know, to the point in the end. So it was, but you know, apart from seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time, it was just surreal of actually being there in the same place. 112
years later.
It's
amazing. It really does pop out of the forest. You drive along,
yeah, so odd.
And you look at the trees. You think, hey, what's that? And
how can there be a canyon just beyond these trees?
You can imagine that if there was no road there, you really would pop out from the forest and have to stop, because otherwise you'd be descending rather rapidly a mile down into the ground.
Yeah, Winfield Hogaboo's description was pretty good, wasn't it?
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Came out of the street and there was facing this the deepest chasm in the world.
Yep, here's the biggest hole in the world. So, yeah, it's the end of a long day, or a long 2 days.
Yeah.
A lot of effort. We learned a lot. I learned a little bit more about the car, you know, that you don't shove the accelerator down. You know, you get it going and then you pull it back and it starts to get its own little rhythm and you can hear that little engine going...
Very quiet, wasn't it? Sometimes we were gently talking.
And that sounded sweet.
Going,
so, it was chattering away quietly to itself. So, you know, if we can really get it running really well, it'd be sweet. It'd be really sweet to...
So when you were riding in the car, not being towed, but just under your own power, could you hear the birds chirping?
Yeah, you could hear.
Yeah, it was so quiet sometimes. You didn't even hear the little clack-clack of the water pump. When it's right up to steam...
You keep to the left, easy left.
When you're right up to steam, you're... And the burner is shut down. You don't even have that whistling sound.
Yeah,
I've got to sort that out.
All you hear this is, as I say, this lovely little chug chug going on. Very quiet. Very happy.
What are your thoughts as we hurtle down this Highway 64? We're going about 50 miles an hour, maybe 45. What are your thoughts about the idea of conveyance in 1902 versus 2014?
Well, we were saying then, you know, as we're going along, okay, we're doing better than a horse here, you know, which was the only comparison they had. So it was obviously surprising to them what you could achieve compared to now, where we're used to cruising along at 50, 60 miles an hour.
Travel for us today is just normal.
Yeah.
You could hop on an airplane, you're around the world. It's just part of the deal, isn't it? Back there, travel, you know, when we were travelling across Death Valley, you cannot imagine how did these guys have the bravery to say, well, we've got to get across there. Somebody had to get on the horse with enough water and food and strike out into nothing in the hope that maybe...
You're going to turn left here.
So going to go where?
Left.
Okay. Stop. Okay. In the hope that you're going to find water. You're going to find somewhere where you can actually then go back again.
People on your right stop, so you're good to go. People on your right stop, okay, so you're good to go. Good go cut. Ahead. He's got to stop.
All right.
So those people, they had to find... Yeah, we found somewhere. We can, and then get back to where they'd left the rest of them. Or... maybe they didn't come back.
So you mean Doyle and Lippincott had to find water?
No. When we were going across
they
Death
didn't.
Valley.
Death Valley, yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking of all the pioneers.
The pioneers bit. Now,
the wagon trains and the, you know, not knowing what was there and how long it would last.
Lippincott had that pioneering spirit. He said, look, you know, this is a really old way of getting up here, you know. And they knew that people were getting charged a silly amount of money to take the Santa Fe Railway. Come on, there's another way. Instead of taking a horseback or stage, come on, we've got this thing called an automobile. We're going to have a run through the forest up there. And so
he didn't succeed,
but he tried.
Yeah, they got there, but it's interesting that they didn't actually start a steam bus service, did they, afterwards? You know, they realised it wasn't so easy. But, of course, developments were so fast in those days. The internal combustion engine. I don't know when the first buses did start going there. Shower banks and things. I have to reread the Mangum's book and see what they say. Oh, come on, slow.
So is it a smooth ride?
No. Well, smooth across the plains, but, oh boy, some of those washed out. You're worried about the amount of rocks and branches and roots you're going over and the car's shaking.
I mean, does your butt hurt?
No.
But
my butt is just about cooling off now because you have got one hell of a hot thing underneath your seat.
Yeah, it's insulated.
And I know it's insulated, but, you know, that was warm. And today was pleasant. I mean, we're grateful for the rain yesterday because we had a nice cool day today.
It's the original heated seats.
Yeah, you bet it. You know, we didn't have to press a button. Yeah. It was just original hot seat. You know, and
certainly was that, man. Emptying that water tank out, it's amazing how warm that was. Now that's not circulated water. Some of it would have been.
That's radiated heat from the boiler.
But where the steam exhaust comes out, I took all the insulation off it, so it actually goes out across the top of the tank, and of course the heat exhaust and the steam exhaust that comes out underneath goes through a tube that goes through the tank. Yeah, so it's all the radiated heat coming out of that. That's why it gets more efficient the longer you run it.
Yeah.
You preheat.
And that's why you need to be patient when you fire it up and take a bit of time. And
well, it's not it that. It's the first few miles that you've got to
a few miles, yeah. Probably by the end of the day, she was just about warmed up and running nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
It did seem that you steamed up at the Grandview Tower fairly quickly. Were you guys running a good lot of steam on that last section?
When we were being towed along there,
right?
I had the burner on.
Okay.
And the pump on, so we got a full boiler.
Okay.
And then I had to open the engine's turning over, even though it's not turning over because of the boiler,
right?
Because you're being towed.
Okay.
That means the water pump's working and the air pump's working.
Hmm.
So the air pump, the water pump's always going if the engine's turning.
Okay.
When the boiler's full, you open a bypass valve, it still pumps, but it's pumping it back into the tank then.
Oh, clever.
You know, so it's the only control, you've got to keep an eye on that little mirror, because if you overfill the boiler, it'll overflow into the engine and hydraulic. That means smash the engine to pieces.
Hmm.
And we were getting a bit close to that when it disappeared up the sight glass. But that's why we had a fair bit of steam by the time we arrived. We didn't ask who that English guy was, did we?
No.
Who asked where we were from, and it was a very English accent he had. He said he'd been waiting a long time.
Where was this?
When we got to Grandview Point
when we
Tower.
To the tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, he asked. He came across to me and said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Cornwall." And he said, "Oh, well, you know, your brother." I said, "Yeah, he's north of London in Buckinghamshire." He said, what did he say? He didn't say how long he'd been waiting, did he?
I don't know. They'd waited a long time. And that was great. You know, the word had got around and a group had gathered there and they'd been very patient, I think. And it was, again, it's great to see that people wanted to see this occasion.
Yeah, it was nice to steam off then, wasn't it?
And again, you know, steam off, they were, I think, I don't know, horrified, awed, amazed, incredulous. You know, even people say, you know, when we moved off, "Hey, you're dripping." I said, "Yeah, water." You know, it's the whole concept of this thing leaking. I mean, if you were running down the road in a modern automobile with fluids flowing out everywhere, well, you wouldn't last very long anyway. And secondly, you know, you'd be stopped and say, "Well, what's going on? You know, you're leaking. You've got a problem."
People
didn't have a problem.
They can't believe it's a steam car.
Yeah. What does it work?
They see them as traction engine. They know it's steam. You know, a locomotive, they know it's steam. But a steam car is a little bit different. Yeah, fun.
So Nick, this incredible automobile is covered in mud.
Pretty awful.
It looks like some of the woodworking was kind of jarred a little bit, and is a lot of mud kind of in the floorboard. And what are you going to do with the car now? What are you going to do? What are you thinking?
Well, we'll obviously clean it off. I'm not sure if I'll clean it off before we go back to the UK or just leave it and do it when I'm back there. Then I've got to carefully go over examining everything, see if we've cracked or fractured anything on the chassis and the body. But hopefully we haven't. And
Will you disassemble it to do that?
Will I what?
Will you disassemble it to do that?
Take it apart.
Take it apart.
You won't take it apart. Maybe
well,
bits.
If anything needs to be taken apart, yeah, I'll take it apart.
Yeah.
But you know, I've got to sort that throttle valve out and why it's sticking like that.
Right.
And the water pump, which is leaking, and the water pump,
I know what's wrong with the water pump.
What's wrong with it?
It's the piston that pulls up and down inside it, which actually creates the vacuum to pull the water up. It's like a cylinder with a closed end. One end, that bottom end, is in the pump. But it's got a rod pulling it up and down that goes down inside the cylinder, and it's fixed to a pivot point at the bottom. It's the pins on the pivot point that have been where the solder was. The air is getting in. So that's why it was only pumping half the time. And on the steering column, it's having different packing material in there, in the hand pump.
But by running the car for a long time, you start to learn which bits are working well, which bits aren't working well, and which bits, you know...
All that twisting and rough roads we've been going on, you know...
That's why the chassis has probably had those tubes and the ball joints and everything, so that the chassis was able to twist and not distort.
If
it was rigid, it would maybe have distorted. Here, it sort of rode the ground better. I mean, I don't know what it looked like behind when we were going all over there.
The wood is very flexible. It's on top of all that. And the engine and the boiler is all hanging on that wood. All the pipe.
So it's designed to be flexible up to a point, you know.
We bottomed out the steering twice.
Yeah.
Bang in that. You know, if that had been a real hard bang, it just slams it straight up through that aluminium casting.
Hmm. Is this the roughest trek you've taken this car on?
Oh yeah, about miles. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, never. It's been across, you know, fields at county fairs and steam fairs and things, but that's the roughest it's ever been driven.
Excellent. Well, this is a little gateway community of Tucson. I'm going to turn this tape recorder off, and we'll pick it up again on our way back to Flagstaff, if you're willing.
Excellent.
That'll be that.
So where do we head for now?